You can open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3. I'd like to read Isaiah 35, 3-10. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass, with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. A picture of life, new life, being breathed into a parched, barren, deserted kind of a place. I'd like to read here the introduction to the book of Isaiah that is found in my Bible. It says, Isaiah is like a miniature Bible. The first 39 chapters, like the 39 books of the Old Testament, are filled with judgment upon immoral and idolatrous men. Now that's the first 39 chapters. I was reading out of chapter 35, but the first 39 chapters are filled with judgment upon immoral and idolatrous men. Judah has sinned. The surrounding nations have sinned. The whole earth has sinned. Judgment must come, for God cannot allow such blatant sin to go unpunished forever. But the final 27 chapters are similar to the 27 chapters of the New Testament, 27 books of the New Testament. They declare a message of hope. The Messiah is coming as a Savior and Sovereign to bear a cross and to wear a crown. Isaiah's prophetic ministry spans the reigns of four kings of Judah. It covers at least 40 years. And I'm breaking in here at the last of the four kings of Isaiah's of when Isaiah was writing. So the last of the four kings, who would know what the last of these four kings would be that Isaiah is his prophecy spanned from the reign of four kings. And the last of them is, anybody know? He has the honor of having his story written both in Kings, almost exactly the same as in Isaiah. Go ahead. Yes. Hezekiah. So, Hezekiah is the focus of the mission of the message this morning. Hezekiah became king in the place of his father Ahab. Ahaz. Ahaz had made many wicked reforms in his kingdom. Now, if you look at Ahaz and look at his life, I'm not going to take the time and look at what he did. But one of the things he did was he went and he studied some other nations and their ways of worship brought those back into Judah, Jerusalem, and set up, destroyed the way that they, the some things in the temple that were there before, and set up his own way of doing that. And this was Hezekiah's father, Ahaz. Now, when Hezekiah became king, it is said of him that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. In 2 Kings 18:3, I'm going to read from 2 Kings 18:3. You don't need to turn to it unless you can quickly do that. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him. But Hezekiah kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. Now, today, in our world today, there's a lot of people that blame their past for how they are today. Hezekiah obviously did not do that. He had a wicked father who set up, who destroyed all of the what was happening. He tried to change even the very worship of the people. And Hezekiah was the opposite of that. And so he was not blaming his past for how he was today. But he somehow latched on to who the Lord is, and he worshiped the Lord, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He reigned for 29 years, I believe it was. He was 25 years old when he began his reign, and the 29 years of his reign, he was 14 years into that reign when this... in chapter 36 is when this breaks into his life. So it says in chapter 36, it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem, and he stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the Fuller's Bend. And Eliakim the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. And the Rabshakeh went ahead. This was the man who was sent to give this information. He came and he said that he's going to attack Judah. And he had plans to conquer all of Judah, even the same as he had done to Israel. Now Assyria, some years before, had taken Israel captive and taken them back to Assyria and resettled them back in Assyria and brought others in to the land of Israel. And they were then called, anybody know what they were called in Jesus' time? The Samaritans. Yeah, they were now called the Samaritans. So they were a mixed people. This was Assyria, the king of Assyria's design is to bring, to mix everything up so that they could not have any identity anymore. But this was what the king of Assyria was going to do with Judah. He was going to carry them over, and Hezekiah was the king that was was reigning at that time, in the 14th year of his reign. Now, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. In chapter 37, if you go back to chapter 37 of Hezekiah, or of Isaiah, and it would be also found in 2 Kings 19, it's almost exactly the same words. It was fascinating to me to realize that I read 2 Kings 18, verse 17, all the way up through 2 Kings 20, 20 verse 19, I believe it is, it's almost word for word repeated in Isaiah here, Isaiah 36 through Isaiah 39. So it's the same story. And when I was reading it in Isaiah, I thought, I've just got done reading this somewhere not too long ago. And I had, you know, years ago, I'd seen it before, but sometimes you forget. And so it was fascinating again to do this study to realize that God picked out in the whole book of Isaiah, he picked out Hezekiah, and he talked about Hezekiah and gave him that honor in the book of Isaiah. So in chapter 37, 1-7, I want to read that. And so it was when King Hezekiah heard what was going to happen, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth. He sent sent his messengers, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. It's like the king was here. Okay, what am I going to do? So he said, I'm going to go to Isaiah the prophet, and I'm going to tell him. They said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master the king of Assyria has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. He was asking Isaiah to join him in prayer. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. What did Hezekiah have to do? Did he need to get his sword out? Did he need to start fighting? No. God, when Hezekiah and Isaiah and they prayed, then it says, God said, I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And what actually happened was, when he went back, he heard this rumor, when he went back, and his sons, two of his sons, killed him in his own bed. And another one of his sons took over the kingdom of Assyria. Now, the power of prayer, I think, we don't very often realize how important that is. We need to recognize that we call upon God, and he can deal with the biggest man in the world. He can deal with the President of the United States. He can deal with the President of Ireland. He can do whatever he wants to. Cause him to hear a rumor or whatever it might be. Cause him to make another decision. God is who made, as Brother Dan was saying at Sunday school, he said the galaxies, the Milky Way galaxy, they estimate that there are billions of Milky Way galaxies. And the Son, Jesus Christ, has created it all. It's amazing. So, in Isaiah 37, verse 14 to 20, I'd like to read Hezekiah's prayer. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. I think it's important for us to identify who God is when we're praying. We can pray, Jesus Christ, you're the one who walked the streets of Nazareth. And we can cry out to God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, just like Hezekiah did. He said, verse 17, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands. They have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. All of the kingdoms knew what Sennacherib could do. He had come in. He'd wiped out all these kingdoms. He'd wiped out Israel. He conquered them. I shouldn't say he wiped them out. He took over. He conquered them. He became their ruler. And he was going to do the same with Judah. But Judah did not have a God made by hands. And Hezekiah knew that. And Hezekiah prayed. And Isaiah told Hezekiah to pray. And when he prayed that, then God heard. They didn't have some kind of an idol they set up and prayed to, but they just prayed the living God. The Lord answered. 37:21. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, and I underlined this in my Bible, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. And then he goes on for the next few verses, all the way down to verse 35, and says what God's answer is to Sennacherib. If I would be Sennacherib, I would be trembling in my boots. Because when God is against you, if God be for us, who can be against us? But when God is against us, who can be for us? Think about that. Now, I'd like to go to another one of Hezekiah's prayers, chapter 38. 38, verse 2. I'm going to read verse 1, because in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Now this must have happened about the same time, because remember, he was 25 years old, he reigned 14 years, okay, he was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 29 years. Now, he was granted 15 extra years. And in the 14th year of his reign, this big problem came up. He prayed. But now that's not the only problem that came up in the 14th, around the 14th year of his reign. The next thing that happened was he was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. So not only was Sennacherib going to die, but Hezekiah was going to die also. Now, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. In verse 2, he prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And if you go to 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles, I'm not sure exactly which, 2 Chronicles 32. In fact, I'm going to read that. I have it noted down here. We'll go to 2 Chronicles 32 in a little bit. But there it gives a much more of Hezekiah's life. So you have Hezekiah's life outlined in 2 Kings. You have it outlined in Isaiah. And you also have it outlined in 2 Chronicles 32. So let me just finish this section here. The Lord answered, when Hezekiah prayed, the Lord answered and said, go and tell Hezekiah, he answered Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. What a sweet answer. When we pray and God says, I have heard and I'm going to give you this and this. I'm going to give you 15 more years. What would it feel like if you knew that you were on your deathbed and all at once you had 15 more years? Now, how old was Hezekiah? You mathematicians, 25 plus 14 is what? 39. Was he a young man at 39? He was still a young man. That's why he said, something about, I have walked, where does it say? That it felt like to him like he was cut off in the middle of his years. And he was 39 years old. God gave him another 15 years, and I've gotten more than 15 years, more than 39 for myself. I just celebrated a birthday this past week, and I'm thankful for what God has given me, but I want to take every minute and every time, every bit of time that God gives and serve Him with it. Okay. We're going to need to go into something that is not quite so glamorous in Hezekiah's life. I think we need to just be honest and recognize what can happen. Let's turn to chapter 39, verse 1 to 8. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold and spices and precious ointment and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they came to me from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. I call that the Hezekiah syndrome. I don't know if I've talked to you about that before, but somehow Hezekiah was okay with if things were going to be all right in his lifetime. I don't think we should be like Hezekiah. I think we should be concerned about the future. We should be concerned about more than just our own life. And I'll never forget, I forgot that I had either preached or taught this idea of the Hezekiah syndrome. But my son, oldest son, came to me within the last 2 years. He said, Dad, I found myself guilty of just being concerned of this life, the time that I have now. And he said, I remember when you talked about Hezekiah and how Hezekiah was just satisfied if things, the evil would just wait until he's gone. He said, that has struck a chord in his heart. He said, he made a commitment to be concerned more about what things that happen after he's gone, or just as much as now, because it's selfish to think about just just as long as it's good when I'm living. But we need, there's so many of us. It happens to me so often. I'm satisfied if I'm taken care of, but I forget about the future, that the future is taken care of. So let's think about that. Now, when Hezekiah showed all of these treasures, in another passage, in fact, I think I need to read 2 Chronicles 32 right now. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 32 and see what God actually has to say about what Hezekiah did. Because if you keep comparing Scripture to Scripture, sometimes you get a picture of what God actually thinks from one Scripture that you haven't gotten when you read the other Scripture. So 2 Chronicles 32, if I'm turning to that here, usually I like to put a little piece of paper so it doesn't take me so long to turn to it. Starting verse 27, Hezekiah had very great riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, and for all kinds of desirable items, storehouses for the harvest of grain, wine, and oil, and stalls for all kinds of livestock, and folds for flocks. Moreover, he provided cities for himself and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him very much property. This same Hezekiah also stopped the water outlet of Gihon and brought the water by tunnel to the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. And it appears like when Hezekiah showed the ambassadors all of the things that he had done, all of the riches he had accumulated, he must somehow have done it with a heart of pride. I have done this. I have done that. And brothers and sisters, that so easily can happen to me. And it has happened to me just recently again. Talking about some things that I have done. That is, listen to what it says here. It says, however, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. So, what that is telling me is that God stepped back and allowed this to happen so that God could see what was in Hezekiah's heart. And Hezekiah somehow must have had some pride in there that made him talk about all that he had done. Now, looking back over what we've covered so far, some lessons for us. I just wrote down about 5 or 6 or 7 lessons here. Just because we grew up in bad circumstances does not mean that we are doomed to wickedness and failure. Okay? Second thing, when we seek the Lord and walk in His ways, we will face challenges and difficulties. When we seek the Lord, walk in His ways, we will face challenges and difficulties. It's going to happen. Third thing, when we face these difficulties, our best response is to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Never forget to give glory to God and God alone. And about 1, 2, 3, 4, the sixth point I have here is God will test us to see what is in our heart. But I'd like to leave you with an encouraging scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. But He will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Never forget that whenever we're tested, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. but he'll make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I would like to, in closing, which somebody has said is a meaningless preacher statement, but note the parentheses in Hezekiah's life, of Hezekiah's life in the book of Isaiah. Okay, in the book of Isaiah here, chapter 35, the end of chapter 35, I read that those verses. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Beautiful, beautiful scriptures. It says, he's talking about the highway of holiness. Now, skip across and go back to the end of chapter 39, which is the end of Hezekiah's account that is like a parenthesis in the middle of Isaiah. It says, verse chapter 40, verse 1, comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Here we have the beginning of the section where it's where Jesus is now coming, and as you read the last of Isaiah, many, many times you have the Lord Jesus is exalted in the last section of Isaiah. I will let you study that, and the account of Hezekiah marks the end of God's message of judgment and the beginning of the message of hope and the coming Messiah. What we do in this life does make a difference. Let's kneel for prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you right now as a group of people coming in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, recognizing that without the sacrifice of Jesus, without the hope of eternal life, without the redemption that is ours through Jesus, we have nothing. But in the name of Jesus, we come to you and pray that you would lead us in the paths of righteousness. Lead us in your ways. Whatever difficulties come our way, that we would remember to call upon you and find your answer. That we would remember to recognize you after the answer has come and after you have blessed us. That we would remember to give you glory and honor for anything that has come.